You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
The Orioles were none too pleased about being on the wrong end of Hisashi Iwakuma's no-hitter last week and proceeded to unleash their fury upon the Oakland A's over the weekend. Welcome to MLB.com Extras Baltimore Orioles. I'm Matt Wehmeyer, joined by MLB.com Orioles reporter Brittany Giroldi. Brittany, thanks for your time on this Monday. And Brittany, the remark I made at the top, a bit tongue-in-cheek, of course, regarding the Orioles being angry about getting no hit. But on the other hand, can you make a case that the Iwakuma no-hitter was kind of a wake-up call for this team that was kind of going through the motions these past couple of weeks?
I think you can, Tim, because, you know, not just yesterday's game, but they followed it up, that no-hitter, with two really big come-from-behind wins against Oakland. And this is the worst team they're going to play for a while now, the Oakland A's. And I think that they really recognized the fact that if they were going to stay in it, they weren't going to have to just continue to win games against this team, because it doesn't get any easier than this. And they've done that. And yesterday, of course, was a lot of fun. You really saw those bats break out. I think some of the additions that they've made recently, Henry Urrutia and Steve Clevenger have come up from AAA, have helped pace that offense as well. And then, of course, Chris Davis, who has absolutely carried this team over the last few weeks.
And how much fun was it to just watch this team yesterday put up 18 runs against the A's? And I remarked yesterday that this wasn't even a season high for them. They scored 19 against the Phillies back in April. They put up 18 against the Red Sox about a month or two after that. But when you're watching a team that's clicking on all cylinders, do you sense that it's a contagious thing where, you know, one guy gets hot and it carries through the other eight guys in that lineup?
Oh, sure. And again, like yesterday, was a lot of fun to watch. I mean, they had Jason Garcia, who's their Rule 5 draft pick pitcher, actually get his bat in that game. So, you know, you just watched, and it was almost like follow the leader. That's what Adam Jones called it yesterday after the game. Seems like after they scored that 9-run inning early on in the game, they just continued to roll from there. And it was a lot of fun to watch. It was a lot of fun for them to be a part of. But, again, they got Sonny Gray going tonight, so it's almost like they wish they could carry over some of those runs, because arguably the best pitcher in baseball tonight after scoring 18 runs and feeling on top of the world yesterday afternoon.
As good as Gray is, I got to think that he's a little bit nervous going up against the team as red hot as the Orioles right now should be. A very exciting conclusion to the four-game series on Monday night. And you mentioned that, you know, what an odd sight in the ninth inning where you have a pitcher batting in an AL Park against a position player who I believe was Ike Davis for the A's. In all your years covering the Orioles, have you ever seen anything so strange?
No, and what made it better to him was they told him to not swing, Jason Garcia. And he, you know, he goes, he gets batting gloves, he's pine-tarring up his bat, and, you know, Buck's in the dugout was absolutely going berserk. They were laughing so hard. And I talked to Jason Garcia after the game, and he said, well, you still got to look the part, even if you're not going to swing, for the photo op. So he had a good time with it, and it was very, very unusual yesterday.
Easy to put smiles on faces when you're winning and scoring 18 runs in front of your home fans, and just a great day all around for this Orioles club. Brittany, I want to get your thoughts on kind of the mental state, if you will, of this Orioles team, because, of course, they are defending AL East champions, but I think right now, in terms of the overall perception of this team and the overall perception of the division, it seems like a lot of people think it's a two-team race between the Yankees and the Blue Jays. Do the Orioles feel that way in terms of this is how other people view the division? And if so, do you think they have a chip on their shoulder about it?
I think they always have a chip on their shoulder. I think Buck does a really good job of mentally making sure they're in a really calm, focused state. And they never look at it as they're the favorites. They've kind of been the backs against a wall type of group of guys ever since 2012, you know, when they finally made the postseason for the first time since 1997. So I think that their state of mind is pretty good, and they don't mind not getting the attention. I think they thrive off of it. They use it to band together to really kind of strengthen that team chemistry that they already have. So I don't think it bothers them very much. It is interesting, though, they were very much under the radar, and then probably since yesterday, I've just heard from a lot of national outlets and a lot of people that all of a sudden are paying attention to the Orioles. And if the season ended today, they'd be in the postseason. So they like staying under the radar. I think it's something that they hope they can continue to do.
Yeah, I think it would be extremely dangerous for either the Yankees or the Blue Jays to forget about Baltimore and just dispose of them and say, you know what, it's going to come down between us two teams. But to forget about the reigning division champs, like I said, would be a very dangerous thing. Brittany, want to get your thoughts on some individual players, most notably Chris Davis. Very quietly, for a guy whose nickname is Crush anyway. He's taken over the major league lead in RBIs, 89 entering Monday night. He appears to be regaining the form of his monstrous 2013 season. Is it fair to say that he's been the most pleasant surprise, at least thus far, for this O's team?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's just been really, really impressive over the last few weeks. And you look at his numbers, they're like video game gaudy type of numbers. And he's got 9 home runs in August. He's homered in 6 home runs in his last 7 games. And he's just been a huge, huge piece of what they're doing moving forward. So I think that if he can continue to stay hot, it could be a really dangerous team. Now, the issue with him always is that he's inconsistent. So at any point in time, he can go back into a really tough stretch. And I think the key for them is trying to ride this out as long as they can, because Chris Davis, when he's going like this, is one of the scariest hitters in baseball.
Do you think that the struggles last year, he hit under 200, still put up, I believe, 22 home runs. The power was still there, down significantly from 53, of course, in 2013. But still, a batting average under 200, had the drug suspension. Do you think he came into this season somewhat humbled and ready to kind of refocus and get back to the player he used to be?
I think that's fair to say. I think a lot of the suspension really humbled him. And, again, it's coming off of a monster 2013 season. And so I think that was a lot of it, too, is the expectations were so high. People were paying attention to him, whereas maybe a few years ago he gets that suspension and it's only big in Baltimore. This was a national story. The guy had 53 home runs a year removed from that suspension. So I think he's very grounded. He kind of learned to maybe stay in his own lane. I think he got a little too big at times during that 53 home run season. And last year was just kind of a very much a low for him. And he kind of understood and appreciated a little bit more what he was able to accomplish. And I think you're seeing now more what Chris Davis is. A season like this is more in line with what he is. He's not going to hit 53 home runs again, but he's still going to be a very good player, a guy who defensively can hold his own. And the power potential is just scary.
And, Brittany, a few spots up the order from Mr. Davis. We find a new acquisition in Gerardo Parra. He's been a great addition in my eyes for this Orioles team, and I think it's been a bit of a pleasant surprise, too. Not that we don't know his capabilities and his talents, but to come over from the NL and to fit so seamlessly into this Baltimore lineup, I think the Orioles really got a steal here at the deadline, don't you?
Yes, I do, and I think they're going to do everything they can to try and keep him. He's already made a clearance over his agent, but I'd love to stay here. And he's hitting almost 300 since he came here. Gold Glove defense. He's had a couple really key outfield assists. He's had a couple home runs. And has fit in really well in that clubhouse. He wants to win. He's a guy that at every stop, everybody you talk to knows and says that he wants to win. He's a guy who really is very competitive. And he fits in very, very well. Very friendly guy. So I think it was a really good trade for them. They do give up a good pitching prospect in Zach Davies. But you've got to give up something to get something. And once again, he made a really nice move at the deadline.
And, Brittany, I'm always kind of fascinated by the guys in the sport who seem, despite putting up huge numbers year in and year out, they for some reason fly under the radar. They don't have that national recognition like a Mike Trout or a Bryce Harper or a Giancarlo Stanton, someone like that. My guy in the National League is Paul Goldschmidt. My guy in the American League, and this has been the case for a couple years, is Adam Jones. Do you agree with that? And are you just – is he so mind-numbingly consistent at this point that people kind of forget how good he really is?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's appreciated in Baltimore for sure, but I would agree with you. I think out on the national scale, he still could be bigger, and he is incredibly consistent. He's also the heartbeat of the team. I mean, just a nice, humble, funny, gregarious type of guy. He's exactly what the city needs. He was huge when all the riots and things were going on. He knows his words carry weight. So he's very much embodies his team leader in every sense of the word. And the way he plays on the field, he's one of their more competitive guys, one of the tougher guys. A lot of injuries he's played through this season, and he still manages to put up those numbers. So I think it's fair to say, I think he deserves to be in the conversation with some of those guys that you mentioned. It's very rare that he is mentioned. And he's a guy who maybe people won't appreciate fully until he's done playing.
MLB.com Orioles reporter Brittany Giroli joining us here on MLB.com Extras Baltimore Orioles. I'm Matt Wehmeyer, and Brittany, I want to get to the pitching staff right now. Kind of what is your state overall of the pitching staff? Are there some holes to fill? Is there some concern? I know that kind of the knock on this team, at least in recent years, has been there's no ace. They've got some good pitchers. They've got some good solid names, but really no bona fide ace. How do you kind of assess the state of their rotation right now?
I think it's their weak link right now. They've got some guys who have the potential to step up a little bit here, and Chris Tillman is one of them, but they really haven't been able to consistently put it together. And I think what's lost in this little bit of this win streak you get to Oakland is the fact that the Orioles starters haven't been very good. Weighing Chen yesterday was pitching solid six innings, a quality start, but they've been few and far between for the staff. So I think if they're going to really be a postseason threat, they've got to find a way for some of these guys to revert to their track record. Gil Gonzalez is a guy who struggled to go six innings, and he's been Mr. Consistent over the last few years for them. Tillman had a horrible first half, but looks like he's kind of becoming that guy again for them in the second half. So these are all things that are going to be very important. Ubaldo Jimenez has been inconsistent since the break. I think if they're going to really give the Yankees and the Blue Jays a run for their money, this rotation has got to step it up a little bit moving forward.
Is there concern in that regard because the rotation has not really stepped up to their capabilities as of yet that it's going to put too much pressure on the bullpen to do their part and they could get burned out by the end of September?
Sure. I think there's always that concern. And take into account right now that they don't have a plan B, really. I mean, Tyler Wilson and Mike Wright, who are their better starters in AAA, are both currently on the disabled list. Dylan Bundy, their top pitching prospect, Hunter Harvey, both on the disabled list. Neither of them close to returning. So no, none of those guys are going to be an option right now in the immediate, you know, future for them. So I think they have to be a little concerned. They also have to figure out a way to get these guys right because there's no reserve. This is it. If they're going to do it, it's going to largely be with this group the way it stands right now.
And, Brittany, when you look at the schedule, I hate to call any portion of any schedule easy because any team could beat any other team on any given night, as the cliche goes. However, having said that, when you look at the remainder of this homestand, you've got the finale of four games against the A's tonight on Monday. Then the Mets come into town. They've had a rough patch recently. The Twins come in for four after that to wrap up the homestand. The Twins, they're in the playoff conversation, but they don't really scare anybody. Are the Birds kind of looking at this stretch right now as really a golden chance and perhaps their best chance to create some separation in the race for that second wild card?
I think so, especially because right after that homestand, they go on a really tough road trip in Texas and Kansas City. So the Orioles haven't played well on the road to begin with, and when you look at some of the matchups, some of the places they're going, Toronto, New York, Tampa Bay, some of the places they're going in September, they're really going to have to try and make up ground while they can at home. And against teams that are struggling, like the A's. I mean, they're going tonight for the four-game sweep. They know every win is critical and that every game matters. I mean, you could be sitting home based off of one loss. That's how close this wild card is. And I think they know that. They're aware of that. And this is certainly a break in the schedule of sorts for them.
And, Brittany, just to begin to wrap up here, the Orioles, of course, as you said, they've got a tough road stretch coming up after they conclude this homestand. A lot of teams that are in the playoff conversation are going to be looking on the waiver wires in the month of August and especially into September to kind of fill some holes. What do you think in that regard the Birds are going to do to try to patch some of those holes down the stretch here?
I don't know. I mean, they've always been a team that has made one or two of those waiver wire moves, but they've usually made them pretty close to right after the deadline. So the fact that they haven't done anything, to me, is a little off. It's a little weird. I don't know there's anybody out there waiver claim wise that fits this team's payroll and that fits the parameters of what they're trying to do. I do know that they're going to actively try to make this roster better, obviously, if they can, but it surprised me this year that they hadn't made that typical early to mid-August type of move. Here we are starting to get into late August and they haven't made any additions, so it leads me to believe that maybe there's not much out there going to help this team right now.
That is MLB.com Orioles reporter Brittany Giroli joining us on a Monday afternoon. Brittany, thanks for your time, and we'll talk to you again next week, I'm sure.
All right, thanks.
All right, Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras Baltimore Orioles.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.